In Ephesians 6:4, it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord." You know, sometimes as fathers, we tend to say the wrong things to our kids. Not intentionally so, but we as fathers, just like everyone else, make mistakes. And we have to be careful how we say things and what we do. And that's true for all parents. We don't want to provoke our kids to anger, and sometimes we do it unintentionally. But the home is a place for children, where children can be safe. The home is also a place for children where children can be loved. Again, that's one of those respects where, you know, you can grow up in a home that's full of love, but not full of godly love. In respect, I grew up in that home. I would never say that my mom did not love me, but my mom did not take me to church. We didn't go. That just wasn't our routine. You know, she fed me and she clothed me and she took care of me. She raised me like any good mom would. But I was missing something. I did not have God in my life. I didn't even really know who God was. I had a vague understanding, but not really knowing who he was, because I was never taught, didn't go to church on Sunday mornings. It just wasn't what we did. So while we can love our children from a parental standpoint, sometimes children are not loved from a godly standpoint. And so a home needs to be a place where children are loved, both from a parental standpoint and from a godly standpoint. What good does it do us if we raise our children in a world where they're successful at everything, in sports, in any type of athletics, even in career-wise? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? It's great that we love our children from a parental standpoint, but if we don't teach them about the love of Jesus Christ, we have done them a disservice. The home is the place where children are raised in Christ. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." It is my aim, my goal, to raise my children up in a godly home. A home is a place for children. I want my kids to know who God is. I don't want them to grow up in an environment like I did. Fortunately for me, I was blessed that there were other people who taught me about Christ, who brought me to him when I was 16 and 17 years old, taught me what it means to be a Christian. And that's how I became one, which led me into the ministry that I'm in right now. But I feel like I missed some things, and I feel like I'm playing catch up, so to speak. And I don't want my kids to be that way. I want them to know God as long as I can teach them, so they will get some benefit out of it. And maybe they'll go the way of the prodigal son and want to leave, but they'll have a foundation to come back with. And I think that's what is important. So the home is a place for children. And again, I'm speaking of home in the sense that growing up in a godly home, not just any house, but growing up in a godly home. But I want to take this in another direction that sometimes we tend to miss. Now, the home is a place for children. It's a place for everyone if it's a godly home. But see, also, the church is a home for children. You see, we are the children of God, which makes us family. You probably heard the expression that it takes a village to raise a child. So in that respect, we are the village, the church of Christ, the body, who are to raise children. Sometimes we get paranoid as parents because we're worried about what someone else may say to our kids and how they're going to say it and that kind of thing. But, you know, how are we going to teach our kids to respect their elders if they're never around their elders? How are we going to have kids who grow up to be like good Christians if they never experience it? I do a thing at our church where I call it lunch lad, lunch lass. Lad is a Scottish word for boy and lass for girl, if you didn't know that. But I do a thing at our church where one Sunday, everybody signs up on the list, and you pick a child that's not your own, and you take them out to lunch. And so that way, some child gets to spend a lunchtime with some adult that they do not know. And I'm telling you, my adults have more fun than my kids. My kids love it. When I say my kids, I mean my youth group. But my kids love it because they get the free meal. Then they get to pick wherever they want to go, because most of the time they tell them, most of the adults say, you can go wherever you want to go. You still want to go, and they get to go. So my kids will pick Red Lobster or Chinese food because we don't usually go there. But the adults love it because they get to know something about that child that they did not know. You know, we have a tendency just to come into church on Sunday mornings and speak to each other for 15, 20 minutes and then go home. And we spend time with our families, and that's great. But do we take time to get to know each other? How do those children know who you are and learn from your wisdom and your experiences if they never spend time with you? So this is one way that we make a point to try to make sure that our kids, and again, our kids, when I say our kids, most of the time I'm referring to my youth group, not just my children. My kids get to spend time with adults in their church so that they can get to know them. And I have parents who, when they, or I say parents, not even all of them are parents, adults who say they hate when they miss it because they enjoy it so much. One lady told me, she said, just in speaking to the child over lunch, I got to know something about their parents that I didn't even know. Because we're building relationships that way. And it's fantastic. One time we went, and for some odd reason, everybody came back and they all had ice cream. Don't even know how that happened because we didn't even plan it that way. But everybody got ice cream. It was fantastic. But it's just little things that you find out about each other just because you spend time together. But the church is a home for children. Also, the church, being the family of God, has a responsibility to children who don't have a home. And again, not a house, but a home. If it wasn't for the church being the family of God and teaching me, then I never would be in the church because I grew up in that house that was not a home, if that makes sense to you. See, we have to seek out in our community those children that we know of. You know, we work in places like schools and daycares. And we work in places like restaurants where we come across people in our community who have children who are not growing up in a home. They're growing up in a house, but not in a home. And are we taking the responsibility or the action to make sure those children get to know Christ? That's the best part of VBS for me. Nothing I try to do at our congregation I do that is not an outreach to the community. Yes, I want every child in the building to come participate in everything that we do. But if I limit it to just the people in the building, I am doing the church a disservice. And I am dishonoring my God, because he said, go into all the world and make disciples. And that includes children, because he said, let the little children come to me. So I have to make sure I do a VBS, and it's for the children who are already there, but for the ones who are in the neighborhood. And then when I do a back-to-school carnival, it is for the kids in the neighborhood as well as for the ones that are in the church. Because, see, we are sometimes the only home that some kids know, the only home. They don't get to see God in ways like we do experience, and sometimes that we take for granted. Growing up in the church, it's just everyday routine for us. I tell the kids at camp, and the same thing happens when you're in a Christian college. When you become the non-Christian, the one who acts out, then you're the outcast. Because you don't fit in where there's a bunch of Christians in, because that's the environment. So on a Christian campus or at a church camp, there's non-Christians there that you don't even know about, because if they did the things they did when they were at home, then they would stand out. So you have to be careful with what we say and what we do, because we are examples to them all the time. And it's our responsibility as the church, as a home, as a family, to welcome them in. I hope that makes sense to you. The last point that I want to make in the lines of a home for children. You know, the home is a place for children. The church is a home that is a place for children. And then the last one I wanted to wrap this up with is heaven is a home for children. And this just don't just include children. This is all of us, because we are His children. I made a point in my lesson at camp this week to say, you know, we as parents, we get fed up sometimes with our children. We get tired of repeating the same things over and over again to our children, to ask them to do things that they already know they should do. How does God feel? We are like disobedient children because we continually fail Him on a regular basis. And He gives us the word that shows us and tells us what we ought to do. It doesn't make it complicated. It just says, do what I ask. And we constantly fall short of that. We are like children. In a lot of ways, we're supposed to be like children. Again, I was talking about how children are very trusting, and they love their parents, and they follow them even when they mess up. They still follow them and do what they are asked to do. We have that same kind of relationship with our Father who is in heaven. We made the point this last week of tying that together for the kids that we were working with. You know, you can't earn your sonship or daughtership with your parents. You don't. There's no way. It just exists. And as a parent, you don't stop loving your child no matter what they do that is wrong. That is how our Father in heaven looks at us. He wants us to ask for forgiveness, and He forgives us. And when we sin, and we're going to sin, because we're not perfect, we'd never do it all right, He forgives us because He's a good God. So heaven is a place for children, and we must be like little children because we are God's children. And in that, no one is excluded. Also made the point with our kids this past week that we're all different. We're all different. Different skin colors, different backgrounds, different family situations, different ethnicities, different hair colors, some with no hair. I'm not picking on Scott. But we're different, and that's just how it is. Even though we're different, we're all children of God, and no one is excluded. In Galatians 3:27 through 3:29, it says, "For many of you who were baptized have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is male, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs to the promise." We belong to God. Christ sent His Son to save us when we did not deserve it. You can't be good enough. There's no such thing. You can't earn your salvation. But my God is a good God. He loved me even before I was created. Before He created the world, in Ephesians it says, He had a purpose for me. And in knowing who I was going to be, who I was going to grow up to be, and every fault that I was going to have, He still sent His Son to die for me. Because He loved me that much. A home is a place for children. Be you a child of 2 years old, or you are a child 99 years old, and everywhere in between. You see, children, they're special. They're special not because of what they do, just because of who they are. You never stop loving your child no matter what, right? But when they're first born, they're innocent and they need love and they're craving you more than anything in the world. And no matter how big they get, you always still see them as that little child. I think that's how we are to God. No matter what we've done, he says, come home. No matter how many times we turn against him, he said, you're still mine. No matter what we do, he says, I love you. He wants us to be the example to the children that are coming up after us. Make children feel when they walk in this door, they're at home. See, I take the family of God very seriously. Sometimes we throw that around loosely. We say family, we are a family, or this is my church family. I always leave that off when I say this is my family. This is my family. If you are in Christ, you are a child of Abraham. Therefore, you are heir to the promise. The promise is salvation. Therefore, you are my brother and my sister. You know, we used to say that all the time, brother so-and-so, brother Buchanan. And we've lost that. And I think that's important. I miss that because it establishes or reaffirms that there is a relationship between us that can't be broken. No power on earth. It cannot be broken. So when we're the family and we welcome someone in, when they come in that door, they see that we are the family. And we make them feel at home. A home is a place for children. All children. Children of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that you tell us in your word how great your love is, that we may be called your children. And then you say that we are. We love you more than words can say. And Father, while we are disobedient children, we're still your children. And we thank you for that. We ask that you will forgive us of our sins, our disobedience, and point us in the direction that we should go. We ask, Father, that you will teach us how to better be your children. Help us to be diligent in your word, to seek through your scriptures, and learn what it means to obey you. And our obedience don't come because we're trying to earn salvation, but merely simply because we're trying to please you, Father, as a good child should. Father, we just lift up the congregation that is here in New Boston. I know that there are children who are living in houses and not in homes who need to know you. And I just pray that the opportunities are presented and that the people will walk through those doors to bring people and children to know you. Father, any way we can assist in that effort, I ask that you will open my eyes so that I may help. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for all children. He loved us enough to give us in his life. And we know that all the pain that he endured, none was greater than his separation from you. But he died and was separated from you so that we would never have to be. And we are grateful for that, Father. Lord, help us to be your children like you have called us to do. We thank you so much for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And we ask that we will live in those blessings, using those gifts to bless others. Thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. Every day is a gift. And let it be used to glorify your name. Thank you again for Jesus. And it's through him that we pray. Amen.